Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. We were just talking about an article put out by one of your colleagues at ESPN, Bill Barnwell, and he broke down every pick in every team, what they should do at that pick. Stay put, trade back, trade up, and Chicago Bears at one, stay put. I think we can all agree with that. With the Tennessee Titans, Bill Barnwell's thought was the Titans should trade up and take their tackle, perhaps trade up with the Arizona Cardinals to leapfrog the Chargers to take Joe Alt to ensure that they get their left tackle of choice. Just your evaluation of this draft and what the Titans have, the limited draft resources that the Titans have available. Do you think that's the best path?
Well, I think getting the tackle that you want makes a lot of sense for what the current need is. It definitely feels to me like the momentum of, you know, where the Titans think they are at the moment at quarterback. Like, it really feels as though, look, we drafted this quarterback, you know, Will Levis, a year ago when he played. He ended up showing us enough that we feel like it makes the most sense to try to set him up for, you know, growth and development and success. And so when you look at that and you think about, you know, what we think will happen at receiver, what we think, you know, what we've seen them do at running back, I think that offensive line makes the most sense. So, look, I think when Bill Barnwell, you know, kind of does, you know, columns like he does, he usually has a unique angle on things that, you know, sometimes can be a little bit different than maybe what everybody else is kind of singing in unison. This one just feels like it makes the most sense, right? And look, I think you could make the argument the same thing, whether it's, if we talk about the quarterbacks, Washington, go quarterback. In New England, I think it's a really hard argument to say, like, yeah, New England should trade out of that spot if they can get one of the top three quarterbacks. So, I think this is one of those scenarios where just it kind of makes sense.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We have heard so much coming out from the Chargers camp, from Jim Harbaugh, about the offensive line. Jim Harbaugh was so excited to build the offensive line, emphasize the importance of a strong offensive line. And look, he's not lying. I think that we would all agree that those things are important. But are you buying all of the offensive linemen to the Chargers buzz?
Well, I think Harbaugh, whether it's a smokescreen or not, I think what he's saying is like, is true. Like, if you just look at his track record of where he's been, the things that have mattered to him, the guys that he's had coach with him, you know, people can say what they want about, you know, his time, with Andrew Luck, but like, they were running the heck out of the ball with Toby Gerhart back then. And then, you know, when you think about his time at the Niners, like, it was he and Greg Roman developing a bunch of different stuff. Like Frank Gore was the back, and then they had Colin Kaepernick in design run stuff that was giving people fits. And then he gets to Michigan, and it's, you know, like throwback, you know, offenses in terms of what they're doing. So I think he's wired in a way, former quarterback, sure, but he's wired in a way that is really, I think that there's a true belief from his perspective of, if you are really good up front, then you have a chance. And if you're not really good up front, then you don't. And so, like, could I see them in continuing to invest heavily in the offensive line year after year after year under his leadership? Absolutely, I could.
You're right about that. But it sort of, you know, I guess it would make Titans fans kind of, you know, scared that, you know, that Harbaugh would take a tackle at the 4 or the 5 pick. I think they are, what, 5? They pick number 5?
5, yeah.
Take a tackle at the 5th pick. But to me, I look at it as he's explaining, like you said, Tim, what all coaches want. You got to build up your offensive line first in order to have a you know, or in order to, for me, you know, in order to have a complete team. You got to start with the offensive line, at least in my mind. Where do you think this thing take a turn in the draft? Is it going to be the top 4 or 5 picks will possibly trade from the LA Chargers or Arizona? Because every year we go into the draft, there's a turning point within the draft that sort of, we thought it was going to go this way, but oh my goodness, now it's going that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there probably are a couple moments where, you know, we look at it and say, okay, it Like, this could be a move at this point. So, look, I told you what I feel like New England should do. Mm-hmm. But if you look at New England, and I mean this, if you look at New England's offense right now, like, how many guys on their starting offense do you look at and you say, yep, they would be a starter at any of the other AFC East teams? Like, I literally think it's one or two guys, maybe the center and maybe the tight end. I think outside of that, like, I don't know if they have another player on their starting offense that I think you can say, like, yep, he would be a starter at any of these other AFC East teams. Like, that's just in your division, never mind your conference. Like, so, you know, I bring all that up to say, look, I think if Drake May was there, like, I would take him. But they may also just look at their situation and say, we have so many holes for an organization that was so stable for so long. Like, they are about as bad as you can look on offense right now. I mean, look at they have all kinds of issues and all kinds of holes. So, that would be the first spot where I feel like it could change. Now, if they just say, look, we understand we've got a long way to go, but we're getting the quarterback because we're picking all the way up here, fine. So maybe it doesn't change at that point. Then I think that somewhere between, you know, this, like, Arizona Cardinals situation where if people feel like, you know, like the quarterback thing is going to continue to move, you know, I think we've talked before about, like, does Minnesota try to do something to get way up there? Or, you know, if Drake May wasn't a part of that. So, like, I think in that 3-4 range is where something could really happen. And if it doesn't happen there, D-Mace, then I think that it probably, you know, starts to happen, you know, maybe around the Giants. Because if they're not going quarterback, you know, maybe somebody else is coming up to go quarterback.
Now, the neighbors, Malik Nabers, obviously, you know, teams are trying to figure out, you know, whether is it Marvin Harrison or is it Malik Nabers, which one of these guys? But now all of a sudden, you know, things are starting to come out about Nabers. And it's just ironic to me that, you know, you've had all this time to evaluate this player, and we know how the NFL is. They're going to dig up under every rock just about to try to find out if there's something in your background, because when you're drafting that high, they want to make sure they have, you know, all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. What do you make of this Malik Nabers news? To me, I don't want to believe someone that just put it out there deliberately to either, you know, sway the way the draft is going or, you know, push this young man further down in the first round. But it's just ironic again. It's ironic that all of a sudden now this stuff is coming out of bottom. Whereas before that, we didn't hear much of anything bad about Malik Nabers.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, I definitely think that guys get, you know, trashed to devalue them, to cause some type of hesitation from another team if they have prospects ranked closely. And so maybe you leak information that's accurate, but it's still harmful to the prospect. I would think that most teams are, you know, trusting their own research on all this stuff. They've poured, you know, millions of dollars into their scouting departments to gather the information. So I would hope that we're kind of past the point where, you know, teams are just believing, you know, anonymous reporting. All that to say, D. Mace, like, I thought that his comments about going to New York would definitely raise my eyebrows a little bit to be like, hey, man, like, you can't say, hey, yeah, like, New York would be great if you get the quarterback situation figured out and you're going to need to feed me the ball. Like, one of your first five text messages is going to be from Daniel Jones. Like that's awkward. So, yeah, look, I think sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. I think most teams probably know it already even before it comes into a report.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach at the Indy Tigers. Now, we've talked so much, Tim, about the top three quarterbacks and even the top four when you add J.J. McCarthy in there. What about the other quarterbacks? What about the Michael Penix or the Bo Nix, quarterbacks that we saw put up big numbers, play big all this year, but it seems like they are being forgotten amongst the other three or four at the top of the pile?
Yeah, and I think that I'll just take them individually. I think the big thing for Michael Penix is his injury history. I mean, it's really, I think it's that simple. If he were to be, have a clean injury history, then I think that would look totally different for him. You know, between his frame and ability to hold up, that's a concern because he's a really remarkable passer. So, and his production was good at various stops. And so, you know, he was good at Indiana and then he was good at UW. And so I think that's the thing that is hurting Penix. And look, that's part of how this works. That one makes sense. You know, on Bo Nix, I think his is a little bit interesting because, you know, if you were to group him into like the J.J. McCarthy mix, here's what I would say. You know, Bo Nix played early at a school that plays in a tough conference and had a lot of pressure on him. And for the most part, I think responded well to the pressure and really kind of got run out of town unfairly, I believe. Then, you know, makes the move to Oregon and plays great and produces at a high level. And he's a better athlete than people realize. I think as a passer, he's had moments where he just hadn't been super accurate. And he's, you know, there are games where you kind of question some decision-making. But I think you can say all those same things for J.J. McCarthy. I think both those guys are both battle-tested. They had to earn the jobs that they had in college. And so I think there's a lot to like about that for Bo Nix. So, I would probably have him after McCarthy. But I think that he's another really good prospect, just like I think Michael Penix is a good prospect. But because of, you know, varying things, yeah, they're just kind of out of that top mix.
Now, Tim, do you think how far do you think one of these quarterbacks would drop? Because I'm looking at it from this standpoint, and I know the Titans don't need a backup quarterback as we sit now. But drafting one of these guys, if indeed they do fall fifth round, somewhere around there, because you're not – listen, you have a backup in Mason Rudolph, but, I mean, is he going to be here after this season? Possibly not. And then you have Malik Willis, who we don't know anything about really, because we don't know if he's gotten better or not. If a quarterback is sitting there that you thought was ranked higher – should the Titans draft a quarterback if it's one of these guys that produce high in college, but for whatever reason, whether it be injury or something else, fail in the draft?
My answer is this, Kirk Cousins. Yes, like absolutely. Like if you have somebody, if you have a grade on somebody and it's not a position in need, and then you look up at the board and you're like, man, we're in the fourth round, we're in the fifth round, and that guy is available, and we think he's a really good player, especially at, you know, the quarterback position. Yes, you're absolutely drafting. Look, it's not a foregone conclusion. And look, in fairness, like that's probably what they did with Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Probably what they did with Will Levis. So, I I'll just say this. Like when Mason Rudolph was coming out, I thought he easily could have been a first-round draft pick from his college tape, his size. I thought he was the best deep ball thrower in that draft when he was coming out. Like, I think there were a lot of things to like about Mason Rudolph. So, and he's played some good football in the NFL. So I do think it's fine for all these teams to be in the mix. Now, I would say I don't know how if things kind of go the way that people think they're going to go. Like, I don't know how at 11 Minnesota doesn't draft a quarterback. I really don't. And then the Broncos are in a very similar situation right after them. So I do think there'll be a run of quarterbacks. I do think some of these guys will slip into round two. And then when that happens, it'll push that next wave of guys even further down. But I do think quarterbacks are going to go early, and it maybe just doesn't end up being the year where somebody – you know, falls to the fifth round or something like that.
We're talking with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, sticking along the theme of quarterbacks, how have you evaluated Joe Milton as an NFL prospect?
Yeah, this one's super hard, I think, because
he's a fascinating one.
I mean, it's so fascinating. Like, he, like, if he just had normal physical talent, then I think he might not have a draftable grade. But that's not the case. He has remarkable physical, like, he may be the closest thing to Anthony Richardson, that, which is weird year after year, but he might be the closest thing to Anthony Richardson physically. So I think that ends up being the challenge with him, is that he is so supremely gifted, but the production and the consistency, and honestly just the number of quality opportunities that you've seen from him, just weren't there. And so with that, like, it's just, it's such a projection, you know? And like, I feel some ways that, like, this happens sometimes, that, like, Logan Thomas, I think that's his name, Logan Thomas played quarterback at Virginia Tech, and he got drafted as a quarterback by Bruce Arians. But Bruce Arians, I think, saw him as potentially a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And not potentially, I mean, as a quarterback, that's how they drafted him. And then it just, like, it was clear. It was like, you know what? Like, no, this is why it just went the way that it went for you as a quarterback at Virginia Tech. And he's had a nice career as a tight end. I'm not saying that Joe Milton should be playing another position, but I think that Joe Milton will get drafted because he's a remarkable thrower of the football. He, you know, has played quarterback. He has had some success, but it is such a projection. But I think someone's willing to take the risk on him. And then what his NFL future looks like, I think, is way up in the air to be determined.
It'll be interesting to see his career kind of pan out. Last one for you, Tim, quickly before you get you out of here. The Titans' first day of the offseason started yesterday. We're less than a month removed from voluntary minicamp. What should Will Levis be doing right now in this stage of the offseason?
Yeah, I think totally asserting himself. Like, here's this window of time where you for sure know, like, you're the guy. Like, you, like, they are setting everything up for you to be the guy. Could there be some crazy surprise that, you know, they draft a quarterback? Maybe. But, like, I doubt that happens. And so, like, behave as if you know it's not going to happen. Like, take such a leadership position in asserting yourself of being the guy, being the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, and having everything be built around you. Like, go ahead and, like put that stake in the ground. And so how you talk, how you carry yourself, how you interact with your other teammates, how you are in the building, how you are with the new coaching staff, like, leave no doubt that you believe that you are the guy going forward. Like, I think by doing that and creating a belief from everybody else in you, like, that goes a long way, and that would be my recommendation to him at this point.
Tim, you are the very best. Appreciate your time today, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.